This is, you're listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This is Remix Tape.
First place, I know some man to walk in, take my place. Ain't nowhere to wear, I'm going out that front door. Cause there's a man down there, might be old man, I don't know. Cause there's a man down there, might be old man, I don't know. Just don't know. Oh, you tell me.
Hey, this is Remix Tape. This time I didn't destroy my ears. So we are here today with Josh, and I'd like to invite Josh to introduce himself the way that he would like to.
Okay. My name is Josh Sanborn. I'm a professor of history here at Lafayette. I've been here quite a while, since 1999. This mixtape is about brothers, and so and I guess it's also relevant that I have two half brothers and two full brothers.
Wow, the whole range.
Yes, so we'll be talking about them over the course of the show, I think. But I think that's probably a good way to introduce myself.
Cool. And Josh is, I think, the only person really that I knew before I got to Lafayette physically. So it's exciting for me to have him on the show because he's, in a way, my oldest Lafayette friend and colleague. And I guess to start off with your mix, which I think is a great theme, and it seems like some of your songs are intersecting with the theme of brothers directly. Why did you start with this song? Do you want to introduce the first track and say something about it?
Yeah, sure. This was sort of a late addition to my thinking on the playlist, and it was because I think it was when you were going back and forth on Twitter with Sarah and wondering whether I was going to be, I think, including Oasis or someone on. I was like, right. I actually don't have any bands that are of brothers, and so I thought, okay, like what band would that be? And since it's sort of in the early part of the set when I'm going to be talking about sort of my half brother's influence on me in the 70s, I thought Allman Brothers would be a good choice. So it was cool. I hadn't actually listened to the Allman Brothers for a long time, and so I was poking around and listening to different songs, and I kind of dug this song. So that was
that was why
I put it up first.
Yeah, this is a great recording, and you know, we've lost one of the Allman Brothers. Mm-hmm. I think it was Greg.
Yeah.
Was it Greg?
Yeah, and that was sort of, I guess, again, just sort of digging around to look at this. I guess this was one of their last shows that this was from before he died, I guess, a motorcycle accident or something. So.
Oh, no, I mean the other one died. The other one died too, really recently.
We've lost all the Allman Brothers.
Sorry, everybody, I don't know the names of the Allman Brothers. Yeah, it must have been, geez. No, it was Greg who died recently, okay. And the one who died before was Dwayne.
Okay.
Yeah. Geez. Oh, he was... Anyway. Musical facts. So, do you want to say anything about your brothers? Like, what is sure. their deal? Who are they? What are they up to?
Yeah, so my oldest half-brother, Danny, I haven't heard from him in a really long time. He's sort of off and on the grid. He's living in Florida. He sort of had a rocky go of it. And one of the songs sort of is going out to him. We've gone years actually sometimes without hearing from him. And I haven't seen him in quite a while. He's my oldest half brother. The younger half brother, Newell, lives in New Hampshire, with his son and his partner.
How do you spell Newell?
N-E-W. E-L-L. It's one of the family names. It's my father's middle name, and actually goes way back in my family. So it's kind of
it's beautiful.
Cool name. Yeah.
It's a beautiful name. I wonder if it's a version of Noel.
That's what I wonder too. I mean,
but it sounds Welsh almost.
Yeah, yeah. So it is. It's a cool and unusual name. And then those were both sons of my father's from his first wife. And then my full brothers, Jeff is a professor of American literature at Amherst, and he's 3.5 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. Older than me, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And my brother Ben is 2 years younger than me, and he's a lawyer in Maine. And that's where I grew up, was in Maine. So those are two, and we'll be there. Those two are both musicians too, and we'll be hearing from them a little later in the show too.
Cool. Okay, everybody. So let's listen to some more music from Josh's mix. Mm-hmm. So we'll play a couple of these. Does that sound cool?
Yes. The next two would be
the next two together, yeah. And then we'll be back to talk about them. So this is Remix Tape. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
you give me a little clue? Are you all right? Is there something you wanna say? Are you all right? Just tell me that you're okay. Are you all right? 'Cause you took off without a word. Are you all right? You flew away like a little bird. Are you all right? Is there anything I can do? Are you all right? 'Cause I need to hear from you. Are you all right? Are you sleeping through the night? Do you have someone to hold you tight? Do you have someone to hang out with? Do you have someone to hug and kiss you? Hug and kiss you. Hug and kiss you. Are you alright?
Hey, it's Remix Tape. We're back with Josh, and we just heard a couple of tracks off his mix. You want to tell us what these are and maybe give us a sense for why you chose them for your brother's theme mix?
Sure. So one of my first introductions to music were through my half-brothers when I was, you know, in the 70s. You know, I was born in 1969, so like mid-70s, I was 8, 9 years old. They were already in college by that time, so they were much, much older. And they went to the same college my dad taught at, which is a very small college called Unity College in Unity, Maine, which is a town of 1,000 people and a school of much less than that. So it's a very small place, but they were going there. And they would come home like in the mid-afternoons, and they weren't babysitting us because my mom or my dad was usually around. But they'd come and they'd just kind of hang out with us. And you know, in retrospect, that's kind of really cool that they came back and did that. And they would play games. There was like a dice baseball game that we would all play together. And so we'd sit, and it was all, you know, LPs, and we would sit in the place in the study where the record player was, and they would put on headphones and listen to their music. And sometimes they would like just take the headphones out and we'd all listen to the music. And so it was a wide variety of stuff that we would listen to. And my brother Newell was one of the albums. Well, they were both listened to was this Heart album, Dreamboat Annie. And so this was one of the ones. Jethro Tull was another one. We had a number of albums. The Boston album, oh my God, we listened to the first
that was
Boston
huge.
Album forever.
Yeah, people loved it.
Yeah, and so we were, you know, we listened to all of those. And my younger half brother Newell, he was very gregarious, athletic, dated a lot of different people. And so this song is kind of cool, because I mean, I think there probably were many women in his life were sort of crazy on him in a certain way, and this, you know, it occurred to me as I was putting this tape together that maybe sort of, it's not the best way to sort of learn about male and female sexuality from 70s rock. You know,
probably not.
It's probably a bad thing. But yeah, this was definitely sort of one of the songs of my youth. So that was that sort of for both of them, but especially for Newell. And then Are You All Right? I sort of already mentioned that Danny has sort of faded in and out with various physical problems and other kinds of problems. And you know, we have concern for him a lot and can't find him. And so yeah, this is a song that Lucinda Williams wrote for her brother too.
Oh, really?
And a similar. I guess, sort of concern. And so I wanted to do that. It also turns out that, you know, as I was sort of putting songs together for this, there aren't actually a whole lot of songs from, not only from brothers to brothers, but from sisters to brothers. And I didn't have any sisters. But, you know, I was just sort of thinking about that as I was putting this together. And I'm a Lucinda Williams fan, so that's why I put,
yeah,
these two songs together, even though they're sort of, you know, 30 years apart and not similar in a lot of ways, but they both say different things for my half-brothers, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's true what you're saying. I guess I would say that is, there aren't a lot of songs from sisters to brothers, but there aren't maybe as many songs just about from one family member to another.
Yeah.
Those kind of pop up on records sometimes. You have a sense, one gets a sense from the lyrics, oh, this must be about, you know, her dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this must be about her mom. A lot of times parents, I guess, are the addressees of some of these songs. And brothers themselves, I have a colleague who works on the theme of siblings in Russian literature, and she makes a lot about this lateral relationship between siblings as being more egalitarian and kind of productive for people developing as individuals. Like, you learn better in this non-hierarchical, even in the case of your half-brothers, they're older than you. You learn better from people in that way. And then as compared to those kind of authoritarian relationships some people have with their parents.
Yeah.
And that, I think that strikes me as true in a lot of cases. But it's also true that pop music is so geared towards romantic relationships that exploring these familial dynamics is kind of lost, or maybe not as marketable in a way.
No, and weirdly, I mean, in a certain way, I think, because I think you're totally right about sort of those lateral relationships. I mean, I know for me personally, I've learned a whole lot from my brothers, and they were formative. I mean, my parents obviously were formative too, and my friends and girlfriends and wife and all that. All those folks are also very formative for me, obviously. Yeah, but this this relationship with brothers, it's a very meaningful one for me, which is one of the reasons I wanted to do this. I kind of actually remember at one point we were very close in age, so we fought a lot, and my mom got very tired of all the fighting of her three rambunctious boys, and I very clearly remember her saying at the kitchen table at one point, like, you have to learn to be nice to each other because these are going to be your lifetime relationships, right? Like, you know, generationally speaking, obviously parents usually die before their, before siblings do. And it's a relationship you have your whole life. And I very much remember that. And I very much feel that for my brothers too. So that's, so it's a very important relationship, and so it is a little weird that you're not getting it in music, or in pop music, or.
But these are often contentious relationships. Yeah. There is a lot of fighting, and there are some extremely dysfunctional sibling relationships, and I don't know. It's sad that happens, but it is common.
Yeah, for sure.
So maybe we should play more music, though. Speaking of which.
Yeah, you want me to introduce these two before?
Yeah, go ahead and frame these.
Okay, so these two, I mentioned before that my full brothers are both musicians. They both play guitar. And they've both made tapes and made demos. Both have played in kind of bars. None of them have done, you know, sort of sold music. I think my older brother's got stuff on Bandcamp, but, you know, it's not like it's not like they're out touring or anything. Mm-hmm. But I like their music, and so they send me their CDs when they do a CD. And I chose these two songs. The first one, they both have to do with my brother's marital relationships. So the first one is a song that my younger brother wrote for his fiance at the time, and they're married now. And as you'll be able to tell, it's very upbeat, kind of. It's a terrific sort of love song in a lot of ways. And the second one was written by my older brother when his first marriage was breaking up. So it's a very different tone.
Jeez, wow.
So these are sort of beginnings and ends of marital relationships. But again, it's sort of, you know, these are the things that you experience with your brothers. So I wanted to have them on this list and on this playlist, and then to talk about this sort of relationship that we have and that they have.
Yeah, and they get to be on the radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is pretty cool. I played my uncle on here, and he was totally into it. So let's hear these tracks from Josh's brothers.
Yeah, the first one is my brother Ben. The title of the song is Giddy, and my Jeff's song, which comes right afterwards, is entitled Mercy Killing.
Oh, intense.
Yeah.
Intense title. Okay, let's hear these two tracks.
Holding the door for her, you won't be touching her leg, you won't be wondering if she hears a single thing you say. You won't be taking the high road, and she won't be finding the low. And you won't be sleeping beside her anymore. Sooner or later, your hatred of being cruel will be cool. Sooner or later, the one you've been shielding will beg you to shoot. God Almighty knows you don't wanna be the one. So call it a mercy killing. Sick kill and get it done. You won't be kissing her goodbye. You won't be folding her clothes. She won't be talking to you like you are someone who she barely knows. And you won't be locked behind your butt, and she won't be locked on the phone. And you won't be sleeping beside her anymore. Sooner or later, your hatred of being cruel will be cool. Sooner or later, the one you are shielding will beg you to shoot. God Almighty knows you don't wanna be the one. So call it a mercy killing, a mercy killing, get it done. You won't be 10 years younger. She won't be your bride. You won't be wondering where your bride went night after night after night. You won't be with her in sickness, and you won't be with her poor. And you won't be sleeping beside her anymore. Sooner or later, your hatred of being cruel will be cruel. Sooner or later, the one you've been shielding will beg you to shoot. God Almighty knows you don't wanna be. So call it a mercy killing, a mercy killing, and get it done. Call it a mercy killing, a mercy killing, a mercy killing, a mercy. Call it a mercy killing, a mercy killing.
Hey everybody, we're back. This is Remix Tape. We're here with Josh, and we just heard his brothers both doing acoustic guitar, two very different kinds of songs. And so I was asking if they ever play together. Seems like they don't that much. But then I had another question, because I know your son is really into music, performs a lot. A different kind of music, of course, a different genre. And I'm just, it seems like there's maybe a current of musical talent in the family. And how did he get interested in music? Is it all connected with his uncles and with your own musical experiences?
That's a really good question. Definitely not with mine. I mean, I did not play guitar. I started to try to learn a little guitar when Clay started, my son started playing. He really wanted to start guitar when he was like 5, when we started getting him lessons with just acoustic guitar. And, you know, he was 5, so he did it for a little while and lost interest and didn't come back to it for a few more years. And when he came back, he sort of wanted to do more rock stuff. And yeah, so he, you know, sort of his taste in music runs much closer to metal than it does to sort of the kind of acoustic work that Ben and Jeff do. But Ben and Jeff both have, you know, sort of expansive musical horizons too. And actually it was really fun. I took my son on a college trip over fall break this year, and we were able to stop by and see my brother in Northampton. And go out for dinner together, and they spent like half the dinner like talking about guitar music, which I thought was really cool. And so yeah, I mean they definitely, you know, that sort of guitar playing, I think, is it's something that many of my relatives do, and sort of the influences are who started when. I'm not exactly sure about all of that, but it's nice to have all of that together.
So. Yeah, and do you find now, you know, in a different stage in your life, that your brothers are introducing you to new music, or do you find that your tastes are converging and independently?
Yeah,
in the same direction.
I think a little bit. Well, over the course of my life, more with Jeff than with Ben in a certain way, because I'll talk about it later. But Jeff has sent me mixtapes, like one of the things that he would do for Christmas gifts and stuff. Right at a certain point, you know, you're not going to buy sweaters for each other. Or I guess you could.
Yeah, you just don't want things.
It's not what you. Yeah, and so it's like. Yeah. And so one of the things that Jeff has done several times for me was to make a mixtape for Christmas, or for my 40th birthday, he made a mixtape for me too, and so I get introduced to new music that way from him. And so yeah, I mean that definitely happens too.
Hmm. Yeah. That's cool. I think we should all do that this holiday season. Let's just do mixtapes, because we don't need any more stuff.
No. And you know, the mixtape, I mean, and those were, you know, those were CDs, which I then, you know, sort of burned onto my computer or whatever. And, you know, I wonder whether playlists make it easier, harder, whether they're more meaningful that you do it as a playlist. I mean, I'm sure I've heard many of your episodes. I don't think I've heard them all of Remixtape, but there was something about having the discipline of the 45-minute side and like figuring out how many seconds each song was. And like, I mean, there was that you don't have to worry about with playlists anymore. And you still had to worry about that a little bit with CDs, right? There's a finite number of minutes, 80 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, it's a little bit more, but yeah.
And playlists, you don't have to be as disciplined about that, which I guess makes it easier, which has both good and bad sides to it. But yeah, I mean, I think, making playlists for people, expose them to what you're kind of listening to, and that's cool too.
Yeah. I mean I like your point that it's very easy to make to I guess be enjoying the space of these formats now that we have. Like a playlist can be like 200 songs, you know, you can just put it on for a party, which is great. But one thing I like about the show is that it is limited. Yeah. Like we have an hour and we talk in between. Mm-hmm. So you do really need to create what is essentially an album length mixtape, which I think is good. I think you should have to choose. Like the choice should be agonizing because it should be that agony is hopefully going to produce the best possible assortment of songs.
Right.
Even though it's terrible and you have to leave off a lot of stuff. And that's the thing that all of our guests have in common is that it's so terrible when they have to take off some songs. So with that said, though, we're going to play on. There's some awesome stuff coming up. So let's play a few more songs and then we'll be back with Josh and his mix on Brothers.
My name is Joe Roberts. I work for the state. I'm a sergeant out of Burnville, barracks number 8. I always done an honest job, as honest as I could. I got a brother named Frankie, and Frankie ain't no good. Now ever since we was young kids, it's been the same come down. I get a call on the short way, Frankie's in trouble downtown. Well, if it was any other man, I'd put him straight away. But when it's your brother, sometimes you look the other way. Yeah, me and Frankie laughing and drinking. Nothing feels better than blood on blood. Taking turns dancing with Maria as a band played Night of the Johnstown Flood. I catch him when he streamed like any brother would. Man turns his back on his family, well, he just ain't no good. Well, Frankie went in the army back in 1965. I got a farm to firm, settled down, took Maria for my wife. But then wheat prices kept on dropping till it was like we were getting robbed. Frankie came home in 68, and me, I took this job. Yeah, we're laughing and drinking. Nothing feels better than blood on blood. Taking turns dancing with Maria as the band played Night of the Johnstown Flood. I catch him when he strays, teach him how to walk that line. Man turns his back on his family, he ain't no friend of mine. Well, the night was like any other, but I got a call about 8:45. There was trouble in a roadhouse out on the Michigan line. There was a kid lying on the floor looking bad, bleeding hard from his head. There's a girl crying at a table, and it was Frankie said. Well, I went out and I jumped in my car, then I hit the lights. Well, I must have done 110 through Michigan County that night. It was out at the crossroads down round Willow Bank. Seen a Buick with a high plate, behind the wheel was Frank. Well, I chased him through them county roads till a sign said Canadian border 5 miles from here. I pulled over to the side of the highway and watched his taillights disappear. Me and Frankie laughing and drinking. Nothing feels better than blood on blood. Taking turns dancing with Marie as the band plays Night of the Johnstown Flood. I catch him when he streams like any brother would. Man turns his back on his family, well, he just ain't no good.
McGill came from a small town in northern Mexico. He came north with his brother Louis, California 3 years ago. they crossed at the river levee when Louise was just 16 and found work together in the fields of the San Joaquin. They left their homes and family. Their father said, "My son's one thing you will learn. For everything the North gives, it exacts a price in return." They worked side by side in the orchards from morning till day was through, doing the work the Hueros wouldn't do. Word was out, some men in from Sinaloa were looking for some hands. Well, deep in Fresno County, there was a deserted chicken ranch. Well, there in a small tin shack on the edge of a ravine, Miguel and Louis stood cooking methamphetamine. You could spend a year in the orchards or make half as much in one 10-hour shift, working for the men from Sinaloa. But if you slipped, the hydriatic acid could burn right through your skin, leave you spitting up blood in the desert if you breathe those fumes in. It was early one winter evening as Miguel stood watch outside when the shack exploded, lighting up the valley. Miguel carried Lewis's body over his shoulder down a swale to the creek side, and then the tall grass leaves rose silently down. Miguel lifted Lewis's body into his truck and then he drove to where the morning sunlight fell on a eucalyptus grove. And the dirt he dug up $10,000 all that day saved, kissed his brother's lips and placed them in his grave.
Hey, this remix tape. We just heard A Block of Springsteen, which I'm all about blocks. This is becoming a thing on the show where people just come on and play two tracks in a row from the same artist. Love it. Do you want to say something about how these made it on your mix?
Sure, yeah. So Springsteen is one of my favorite artists. And he also is one of the, again, kind of the few people, few songwriters, I think, that write about brotherly relationships in their songs. It's funny, when I mentioned I was doing this to Jeff, to my older brother, the first thing he said was, "Are you putting Highway Patrolman on the mix?" which I've always loved that song. And
Nebraska's amazing.
Yeah, Nebraska's a terrific album, and I almost chose his live version on the Live from Dublin album for this, which is also a good one. But I like the spareness of this particular version. And yeah, I mean that line about sort of nothing feels better than blood on blood. It's a very memorable song, and then he returns to that theme a lot later in Ghost of Tom Joad with Sinaloa Cowboys, in which he's envisioning them not as sort of a brawler and a cop in the Midwest, but as two immigrants, you know, working in meth labs, basically in the Central Valley. And But also a very sort of very filial, very brotherly song, and in much the same spirit, I think, about what it means to have brotherly love and what happens when tragedy intersects with that. And so I just like those two songs, and I like Springsteen, and I think they pair well together.
Yeah, it's kind of like what Dostoevsky asks in Brothers Karamazov. Am I my brother's keeper? Mm-hmm. I feel like you sort of always are, whether you want to be or not. You're always wondering about your brother or your sister.
Yeah.
Like they're always, that's how I'm interpreting Dostoevsky's quotation of that biblical passage.
Yeah. And you know, we were talking before about sort of how, you know, how these relationships shape you, sort of these brotherly relationships shape you. And, you know, shape your masculinity, among other things. You know, a lot of these, you know, a lot of what Springsteen is concerned with throughout his whole sort of career is what it means to be a man in a certain way. And he goes through, he tries on different outfits for that, Springsteen does, over the course of his career, which I like. And but it's always kind of a struggle. You know, these are not happy brother songs in a certain way.
Yeah.
But you can tell that these are rewarding male relationships, right? And that's something, again, that I think brotherly relationships can help model for people, right? It's you know, figuring out masculinity is a challenge, and brothers help you navigate that challenge for better or for worse, and in my case for better. So that's and I get that, you know, when I listen to these Springsteen songs, I think of that too.
Yeah, that's something that I couldn't have gotten out of it for a lot of reasons, but it's very clear when you're describing it. Yeah. So it's great. We have some more songs. Mm-hmm. We're going to play another block and then talk. And then we will be approaching the end of our show on Brothers with Josh. So here are the next couple tracks, and then we'll be back.
Снимаешь вечернее платье, стоя лицом в стене, и я вижу свежие шрамы на гладкой, как бархат, спине. Мне хочется плакать от боли или забыться во сне. Где твои крылья, которые так нравились мне? Где твои крылья, которые нравились мне? Где твои крылья, которые нравились мне? Когда-то у нас было время, теперь у нас есть дела. Доказывать, что сильный жрет слабых, доказывать, что сажа бела. Мы все потеряли что-то на этой безумной войне. Кстати, где твои крылья, которые нравились мне? Где твои крылья, которые нравились мне? Где твои крылья, которые нравились мне? Я не спрашиваю, сколько у тебя денег, не спрашиваю, сколько мужей. Я вижу, ты боишься открытых окон и верхних этажей. И если завтра начнется пожар, и все здание будет в огне,
мы погибнем без этих крыльев, которые нравились мне. Где твои крылья, которые нравились мне? Где твои крылья, которые нравились мне?
Trip to California, see where those old days had gone. And the girl that went with them, curiosity, that's all I swear, I swear. In Mendocino County, thought I saw Thomas Pynchon at the end of the bar. No, that's just Rob Reshney writing his real astrology. So I headed up the coast with my only Jewish Mexican friend. I found a bar in Arcata, it was the means to an end. In the alley for smoke, got beat up by some Marion goons. Lying in my blood, I said, hey, what does this mean? I'm still a gringo. Sam.
Hey, we're back. It's Remix Tape. So we just heard Krylia from Nautilus Pompilus. I'll let Josh say something, some more about this. And then we just heard Where Have Those Days Gone, extended version from Cracker. Eventually they start singing, and we were really excited when it happened. We thought it was karaoke version.
Yes, thankfully it wasn't karaoke version.
So do you want to say something about these tracks?
Sure. So the Krylia song from Nautilus Pompilus is the theme song, more or less, or the persistent song in a Russian movie entitled Brother. And so it fit into the mix that way. And, you know, you never know when you're on these shows exactly how many people are listening, whether it's like two or six. But I knew you would be listening.
Yeah, so this I'm is glad song for it.
You on the mix.
I'm glad for Krylia, yeah. This is a great Brother band.
Song on the mix. And I was saying off air, like, this was a song that when I was living in Russia in the mid-90s, this was one of the CDs. I would go into like CD kiosks. These pretended to be sort of underneath the underpass, under roads, and this is still in the kiosk era in Moscow.
Man, the kiosk, yeah, where did they go? Sorry, I just interrupted you, but the kiosks are gone.
Yeah,
the way that they used to be.
Like, they were eliminated by city order, apparently.
Terrible.
And I think everything had to move inside of stores of various kinds.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s, everything was being sold from kiosks rather than stores, more or less. And so you go to a kiosk for CDs, and I would go and I'd ask, basically, you know, what are people listening to now? Because I was not sort of listening to radio a lot, so I wanted to get CDs and stuff, and they would talk to me. And actually, they I would ask that one time, and my accent was it's obvious when I speak Russian that I'm not Russian. And the guy behind me says, "Where are you from?" Behind me in line, and I told him I was from America, and he's like, "Okay, I'll tell you what to buy, but you have to tell me like what your favorite American. Who should I buy from America?" And I actually told him,
"Cool,
Springsteen."
That's awesome.
I was like, "You should try to get some Springsteen." And actually, I bought the Tom Joad album that Sinaloa Cowboys was on at there's a big CD market basically in Moscow, and that was that I think,
you know, was it Izmailovsky?
No, it was out. It was out by Kutuzovskaya. And God, it's a very famous one, and I'm blanking on the name of it right now. Mm. But it wasn't out in Izmailovsky. So that movie Brat is a movie about brothers. But in contrast to sort of the masculinity that I was talking about before, I think I mentioned off air, this is a very toxic masculinity that's happening in this film in a toxic fraternal relationship.
Yeah, geez.
It's a...
Such a downer.
In many respects, it's a very striking movie. And I recommend it to people, but it is both a downer and one wonders about the message to viewers about masculinities in that film. But nevertheless, it's a brother moment for sure.
Yeah.
And then Where Have Those Days Gone by Cracker. The shorter version, the one from the album Greenland, was put on a mixtape to me for my brother Jeff on my 40th birthday. And I like this song a lot. In part because it also harkens back to California, which is another thing that I and my two full brothers share, that we all went to college in Northern California. It was an experience we shared, and actually my older brother was in graduate school at UCLA while I was at Stanford, and so we had some time in California together too. And I won't say that we ever sort of got beat up in a bar outside Arcata, but it would not have been outside the realm of possibility at one point. So,
wow.
It's a song that I like the vibe, and I like the song a lot. So that was sort of, again, sort of a mixtape moment from my brother. So I wanted to put that.
The mix too. Yeah, that's great. So I like this mix because it hasn't been kind of riffing on the same topic of brotherly love necessarily, but it's dealt with tensions within that relationship. Also, things that brothers give to one another, experiences that they share, but also music that they share and other things like that. This kind of complicated chain of influence that happens in a sibling relationship, which I can identify with, even though I have a half sister, not a brother. But yeah, this has been a diverse mix in terms of music as well, I think. And I want to thank Josh for coming on and sharing it, and for sharing stories about his family too.
That's been my pleasure.
Which I think makes the show, I don't know, it makes it more special. That's why we love doing it, is because music has a story. And of course, every family has a story. So we're going to play out with this final track. Is there anything you want to say about it?
Yeah, sure. This is another song from an album I've listened to a lot over the last few years, which is Frank Turner's Tape Deck Heart. And this is a song entitled Oh Brother. But it's about a relationship between two guys who are not brothers, but who build sort of a brotherly relationship. And I guess it is just this reminder. I've sort of mentioned before that in a certain way, you know, people can model their male relationships on their brotherly relationships. And that's one of the things that's happening in this song. And again, in a kind of positive way. And it also, you know, I have to say, you know, one of the things that's characteristic of my relationship with my brothers, and I think perhaps other folks too, and I see it as very different. I mean, when my wife engages with her family a lot, she makes phone calls, she does things. My brothers and I are not in that kind of constant contact. We have sort of shorter bursts of more intense contact, and texting has been a godsend. Neither my brothers nor I much like being on the phone, and so texting kind of helps, so we can kind of keep up with each other without like calling.
That's great.
But that's part of this song too, is like losing touch with someone, but feeling that even though you've lost touch, that brotherly relationship is still there. And so I kind of wanted to go out on this and to say hi to my brothers. I'm going to send them the link. My younger brother is just hopefully getting out of the hospital today. So I'm thinking of him today.
Get well soon.
Sending this out to them and anyone that sort of wants to build these brotherly relationships.
That's awesome. This is a great way to end. A tiny reminder that you can follow us on re_mixtape at Twitter. And next week we have Nick. I don't even know his last name, but he is the record store guy at the Easton Record Exchange. I'm very excited to speak with him. So tune in next week, Wednesday, 12 to 1. And thanks, Josh.
Thank you.
Different blows, we'll all get different blisters.